Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you leave a positive life. Leave a positive life. Good way to die. Right? Leaving a positive life. Interesting concept. If you go out, when you go out, when you decide it's time for you to leave, you want to have led a positive life? Think it makes a difference? You think those points all add up to somewhere you could take them in the future? Or you think it doesn't make a difference? Here's a thing. We got a lot of complaints about our phones. And I want to tell you what happens, okay? We don't have the regular lineup of calls. We have one phone line coming in, which means we are the master of what you have that's called redial. Your redial button was built just for us. So try calling us at 212-957-2729 and then just press redial. See? And keep pressing redial. And when you'll get through that way. That's the way it happens. That's 212-957-2729. And if you call us early, we'll squeeze you in one way or another. We'll put you on hold and have you waiting. Everybody tries to organize themselves when they're under pressure. Do you understand that? Everything, if you're under pressure, the first thing you try to do is try to pull your head together. We're going to look at this from the point of view of the narcissistic personality, which most of us are to one degree or another. The narcissist, as many of you know by now, is the person who is so attached to the image of themselves that they look how they appear to others, that the real self is lost underneath all the makeup and designer work clothing. The narcissist is living for other people's approval and recognition. They don't have an internal self-validator. I'm not going to beleaguer the issue today. We did a recent four-part study on that. I want to address one big question that many people ask me, especially when they consult with me. What do you think is the biggest question that people ask when they meet me or after they sit with me for an hour and tell me about their lives? The primary question, the one that many may not ask directly, but is definitely what they pay me for. How am I? That's what they want to know. How am I? Imagine two shrinks meeting and one saying to the other, "How am I? You're fine." Did you ever get the feeling that you have definite moments of craziness? Did you ever see yourself lose control and think to yourself that there was an insane thread that was just uncovered, and if you let yourself, you could unravel completely and not come back? Yesterday we talked about tempers, and we talk about tantrums, and we talk about how tempers flare. And when they do flare, what happens to you? Do you get the sense that there's something coming out of you that you didn't want to go up and come out of you? Is that thing real or is it an aberration? Today we're going to look at what happens to folks when it doesn't hold together, when you unravel and the real self, the one that's been suppressed for so long, starts to break through. This is Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. Let's get to it so we can get enough time for the callers. Think about it as a continuum. Sometime you're perfectly normal. Then the pressure's built. Then you start to get tired. You need rest, but you can't find the time. By the time you get to bed, you're too wound up to get a restful sleep. Speaking of restful sleeps, very important stuff. If you don't get it, it changes your personality. So in these consequences, I'm looking at what happens with your craziness when you shatter, when you break up. Let's say you're a parent and you're a rageful parent and you're frustrated in society. So you beat up your kid, like we were hearing yesterday on some of the callers. What's the consequences of your behavior? Rage. What if you're paranoid? What if you give in to being paranoid and worried and cautioning everybody around you? What effect does that have on people around you? How about pure passive aggressiveness? The person who behaves in passive aggressive manners, who does things to you in a passive-aggressive way, do you know that the highest rate of suicide in relationships comes from the person who is the mate of somebody who's passive-aggressive? Do you understand that? You want me to explain that to you, Julian? It's an interesting thing. It means the following. It means I want to have battle, but this person has a way of cutting my ears off. They have a way of decimating me. They have a way of hurting me. They have a way of withdrawing love. And so what happens is you become absolutely powerless. Even though you may feel strong, you feel powerless. So usually the person on the other side says there's nothing I could do to get the love I want. Nastiness. Lying. Telling fabrications. Fabrication, dead, tell, lying to people. What does the difference make? Now, one, what is, how about alcoholism, drugs? A question becomes, you should feel bad if you do all these things. But the answer is, nobody does. See, anybody who behaves in these funny ways doesn't feel bad about it. It's the funny thing. They may have a moment of feeling bad, but they don't really feel bad. We discovered something in lions, I think it was. It's a thing called prolactin. And prolactin is what animals use to hunt. When an animal is on the hunt, it's filled with prolactin. As a result of that, when it attacks its prey, it doesn't have any pity for its prey. You know, let's say you're attacking a lamb and the lamb turns its belly up and smiles at you. You're a lion, you eat. You don't care. That same ability, that prolactin gets secreted when a person is acting in the kind of way we're talking about. So the truth of it is you have no regrets. What we want to do is we always want to shame that person into having regrets. My father beat me. He should feel guilty. He should apologize. But when he was doing it, he was drugged. He was another guy. That doesn't give him an excuse. Our telephone number here is 212-957-2729. I am most interested in hearing from people who have been the victims of somebody who has been rageful, acting out, harmful. The results of decimating someone with rage or with tantrum or with shouting is eventually they just fall apart. Eventually they just drop their shoulders and they give up. The result of it is you could destroy somebody's will. We've seen that often enough throughout society. How do you feel when your tantrum results in the destruction of another being? Well, the answer is, what we say is we would think, oh, you feel terrible. Trouble is, my friends, part of what goes along with that kind of behavior is you're lost. You feel nothing. You feel just blind. You feel numb. Hey, Julian, what's happening with the phone? 957-2729. 212-957-2729. There was a thing that was on the previous program. I didn't hear his name. He said, you forgive people for their shadows. You forgive people for their shadows. And their shadow is that part of them that does all this stuff. But it's impossible to forgive somebody for their shadow when they're pointing their finger at you. You have no reaction except to defend. You see? Let's speak to Tanya.
Hi. Hi, how Tanya. Are you?
Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I mean, I've been listening to you for a few minutes now, and it kind of made me want to call because I've had a very difficult and sad relationship with my mother over the years. And she's older now. She's in her 70s. And I thought as time would go on, maybe she would mellow and change. But it's almost like it's not stopped. I don't think it will ever stop. She's sort of behaved in a very hateful and hurtful way towards me over the years. And this has been since I was a child. And I've tried to explain to her why I really can't have her in my life any longer. She'll turn around and she'll do something very nice, but it's almost like I don't even know if she means it or if it's a token gesture. And then she'll turn around and say some terrible things again, some terrible things.
So, let me get Linda in on this one, because she knows this one. She's worked with people around this issue specifically. You hear what we're talking about, Linda?
Yes, yes.
Right. Your mother is mean and acts in a mean way most of the time. And you want to love her in some way and you want to forgive her. How do you get through?
Exactly. I mean, as she's getting older, we're not all going to live forever. And it makes me very sad to realize I'm never really going to have a really good relationship with her. And I spoke to a psychiatrist about this. And he said to me, well, maybe as time goes on and if she develops dementia or Alzheimer's, the layers will fall off and then maybe you can finally have a relationship with her.
Yeah, but Tanya, here's the problem. When you eventually find the mother you're looking for, you no longer find the mother. You're looking for a mother now. You've looked for a mother your whole life. You just wanted to have a mother. And you never had one. She was mean. She was distancing. She was separating. So you're, no matter how she changes, no matter how she changes in the future, you are an orphan. You never had a mother. You never will have a mother. And that's the bottom line of it.
So how do I come to terms with that?
That's a big question.
Do I go to a psychiatrist?
No, you don't go to a psychiatrist because you don't have a mother. You think we send all orphans to psychiatrists?
No, she went and he said that he thought that she suffered from narcissism.
So sure, okay. As I was talking about earlier, but going back to you, Tanya, you need your strength to be beyond the need for a mother. And that means we have to discover something about you. And I'm going to ask you this question about yourself. Do you find that it's difficult for you to mother yourself?
No, I think that I'm pretty good to myself.
How do you take care of yourself?
I do. I feel like a pretty strong person.
And you don't criticize yourself?
No,
that's
I don't.
It. Then you have already beaten the thing. So here's what we have. We have Tanya, who really doesn't need a mother, who still wants a mother.
Right.
You don't need it, Tanya. What you've got to do is learn to live with the loss.
I have to learn to live with what?
The loss.
The loss.
And then the person you'll be taking care of, whether she's got dementia or not, whether she gets older or not, you could distance yourself. You could forgive her for her shadow, but you don't invest in her love.
And that's why I come to terms with if that's something should happen to her and she passes away. And not having that relationship with her ever.
Yeah, but you never had it. You were born without a mother.
I'm sorry?
You were born without a mother. You never had a decent mother. You never had a mother.
Right. I think she wants to. In her way of thinking, maybe she thinks she is a good mother. I know she thinks she's a good mother.
But we're talking about you, Tanya, not her.
Right.
See, she never had a mother either.
Her mother was very difficult.
Right, that's what I mean. So where mothers start is from you from here on. Whatever you give to offspring, that's where real mothering starts. And maybe what I would recommend, you know what would be great? Have you ever been in a woman's group?
Have I ever been where?
A woman's group?
No, I haven't.
That's fascinating for you. That would be phenomenal for you.
Really, yeah?
Yeah, phenomenal, phenomenal. It would change everything.
Okay, I'm going to look into that then.
Call my office. I'll put you in touch with that.
Okay.
All right?
All right, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, have a great day.
Sure.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Linda, you know why? You know why I'm talking about the women's group? What better place to find your own internal mother, right?
Exactly, Armand. That's exactly what we do, and I would have liked to have said that to Tanya. Tanya, if you're listening, please come and join us at the women's group because that's where we address all of these kinds of issues.
All right. Well, thank you very much. The question I had for you, Linda, is that when you address this issue, what happens when a woman meets with a woman? She develops her maternal part of herself, which may be dormant. And she develops her maternal part of herself towards another woman. Then she feels the maternal part of another woman towards herself. That's phenomenal.
Right.
That's great stuff. I have the same thing in the men's group. The men are fathers to the other men. But they're also the sons of the other men. And it's beautiful. And they take that outside. 212-957-2729. Our line is open. Thank you very much. 212. By the way, the phone number here, if you wanted to reach us, is 212-757-4488. That's the regular number. But the one we're looking at today is 957-2729. Nastiness. Niceness. Two words, huh? Nasty or nice? Just imagine the difference between the two. Nastiness or nice? When someone's talking to you, are they being nasty or are they being nice? Is that Anne-Marie? Is that Anne-Marie? Hey, Anne-Marie, you're on the air.
Hi, Amen. A long-time listener, first-time caller.
Nice to hear from you.
Yes, I am. I was listening to you guys, and I thought I'm listening to the young lady as she spoke. And, I mean, she's talking about me and my siblings. I mean, my mom was brutal. I call her the brutal. She's just brutal, you know, no instinct whatsoever.
No instinct of what? No loving instinct?
I'm sorry?
No loving instinct?
No loving instinct. Was even with my dad, you know, my dad loved her so much. He gave so much of himself to her, but I think she was brutalized herself. That's the part of it that.
Why was she so mean? I mean, was she angry at you?
She was angry at the world. I mean, if you see
what a terrible thing. So what's it like, you being a kid, having a mother who's angry at the world?
Yeah.
Did you ever lay your head in her lap?
You were not allowed to. You couldn't get that close. Couldn't get that close.
You couldn't get that close to your own mother?
Yep.
Did you ever cry? Anne-Marie, did it ever make you sad?
Yeah, you couldn't get that close.
I'm asking you. You keep saying the word you. I'm saying, Anne-Marie, did you ever cry?
Did I ever try? Yes, I've tried.
No, not try. Did you ever cry?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. You know, I cry all the time.
How sad it is.
Very sad. Very sad. Very sad.
How does that appear in your life today? Do you have any children?
I have two children, and funny that you asked that question.
Funny that I ask.
Yeah. I went the opposite way, because my mom was not a loving, nurturing person. I came in with this notion that if I become so loving and nurturing, then, you know, my kids won't feel the wrath of what I felt. But a funny thing happened when that happened. I got married, and I married my mom.
Your husband is just like your mom.
I married someone just like my mom, and guess what?
Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Now, you could also say you married someone who you turned into your mom.
Well, you know, that is a funny question, because I knew in essence early on, but I was seeking so
What
much
did you
love.
Know early on? What did you know early on?
That this person really
is this person a woman you're talking about? Is it a woman or a man?
It's a man.
It's a man. You married a man who you thought was going to be a nice daddy. Turns out he wound up being a mommy.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now this time we plan this. Sometimes we make a plan out of this. Sometimes we say we got to get over this thing with our mothers, and the way we're going to get over it is we're going to create it again and then deal with it better.
Right.
So how do you deal with him better?
Right now we're divorced. And I have to tell you, Oman, for that young lady that called in earlier, things get better. Because I'm sitting here to tell you, just last Sunday, my mom lives in Florida. She came into town. She didn't tell me because nobody was speaking since my dad passed. And she invited herself to my house, believe it or not, for dinner. And she walked in and just burst out crying. I'm sorry I abused you. I'm sorry I was brutal. I am sorry I was abused, so I turned around and abused you. I almost fell out of the chair. It was something that I waited for almost 49 years to hear, that my mom recognized that she was so brutal. And so today, as I'm speaking to you, it's been probably 3-4 days since my mom and I speak.
Wow. How wonderful. How wonderful. Good. Good. But I'll tell you something, you cannot forgive her unless she makes you that thing with potatoes that she makes. What does she cook using potatoes?
You know, my mom doesn't cook anymore, I suppose.
Right, I know. But what could she cook?
What could she cook?
She has to cook you a meal. That's it. Tell her the guy on the radio said, Mom, you have to cook me a meal even though you don't cook. And it's got to have potatoes in it for sure. And then if we have this meal, everything will be forgiven.
Yeah.
Trust me.
It's a work in progress.
Trust me, it works.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, Anne-Marie.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure.
That was a big.
Other people, Linda, who are callers, strategically wait to when they think I'm winding down the conversation, and then they start to call in. It gets sharp out there. Tell you a story. There was an easygoing guy who was obsessed with getting the things neat. He started getting angry at anybody who messed up anything he had organized. He got worse and worse until he lost his temper one day and screamed at his wife, significant other. He got furious at his wife for putting the toilet paper in the toilet holder upside down. Now, what way do you think toilet paper should go in a toilet paper holder? You think it should be on the bottom or the top? What do you think, Lynn? You think it should be at the top? What do you think it should be on the bottom or the top? Where does the toilet paper come out of, Julian?
Bottom?
Or the bottom, right.
I think so.
That's what men think.
Mm-mm.
Men think it comes out of the bottom.
It depends what day of the week, really. I'm not sure.
You're not sure, huh?
Top.
You're sure it's top,
for
right?
For sure, top. Mm-hmm.
Can't be top.
It is top.
We're going to get messages on this.
Mm-hmm.
What's the right way anyway? Is there a right way? Should the paper roll off the top or should you have to kind of scoop it from the bottom? Well, I don't know. But when this guy caught himself screaming at his wife for purposely putting the toilet paper upside down, he knew he was losing it. And then he came to me for help. You see, that's what happens to a lot of us under pressure. We begin to over-organize, as if we're getting wrapped up in order to help us escape from the pain. Other people go to sleep. And they just close themselves down. The more the pressure builds, the less functional they become. They go into a cave in their mind and they hide out for a while. Some people get angrier and angrier as the pressure builds. Others get needier and needier. We're going to continue talking about this, but we've got Jose on the line. Hello, Jose. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello, Armand.
Hello, Jose.
Toilet paper should definitely come from the bottom because it's easier to rip off. From the top, it's a lot different. Okay.
I understand.
I have a relationship with my mother-in-law. Well, like you were saying before, my wife did not have a mother, and I had, from what I believe, I can't complain about my mother. So in there is where the clash is. So she was looking for, I guess, someone that had a relationship with their mother, which I did, but now we're having difficulties ourselves.
What difficulties are you having?
Well, it's just I left my corporate job. I want to live in the real world. I don't want to live in the fantasy world anymore. But, of course, like you've mentioned before, that the wife is building the white picket fence house, and that's what she wants to do, and the artificial goals that we set for ourselves in this society.
She doesn't get that you are a child who wants to feel safe, and there is nothing in the world you would rather have than a loving relationship with her where you understand each other, you hold each other, and you feel safe. She doesn't understand that. She understands that you just got to keep on moving and keep on going and keep making things work till she feels safe. So what your difficulty here is you both have a different definition of safety. Your safety is love. Her safety is having enough sufficient, adequate stuff. Somehow, the two of you have got to hold each other. Really hold each other for a long period of time in each other's arms with no words. And you have to let yourself melt into a place of safety so that you can get together. Because I hear from you, Jose, that you love this lady.
Yes.
I hear it. I hear it. And she's precious to you.
Yes.
And you don't want to lose her.
Of course.
But you've lost her. See, she's gone.
Right.
You have to go get her back. You have to get her back. My heart's reaching out to you because I know there's some part of you right now that wants to crack right open and every tear wants to come out of you because that's how bad it feels.
Yep. Yes, it does.
So we need a plan. You're going to try to do it by talking to her. If you can't, give me a call. Let's see if we can develop a strategy. There is nothing, not nothing worse, but it's just not nice to lose the love that you could possibly have.
Right.
Jose, thanks for calling in.
No problem. Thank you, Omar.
No problem.
Okay.
Bye. Oh, boy. You don't know how many men I know who feel like that. You know, they don't know it because they're so removed and they're so strong.
All right.
Quick 1 minute.
Hello?
Hey, Jane. June.
Oh, hi there. Yes.
Hey,
my
June.
My name is June Keefe. Hi there. I am married to a man for 35 years, and I am in quite a predicament right now because since he relapsed from recovery.
From what?
From alcohol.
Okay.
The person that I was married to for the first 32 years went away, and this other person appeared into my life who I do not recognize.
You're talking about the alcoholic guy.
Well, he was not active when I first married him, but now he is a dry alcoholic, and I never know who's going to show up. At any given point, time or day or night, whether it's going to be this wonderful person who is remorseful in the morning to this nasty,
yeah.
Sarcastic.
Yeah,
and
I know
it's
what that's
never,
like. Yes, absolutely.
And it's to the point where it's beyond disconcerting, and that's why I think emotional abuse is the worst type of abuse because there is no proof. There's no evidence.
Well, let's start with this, dude. The first emotional abuse is what you're doing to yourself. So now we're going to take that, and we're going to take that a step further. But at the moment, I have to take a break.
Okay.
We're going to play some music. I want you to stay on the line.
Deal.
And we're going to come back to you.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
I'm on the phone with Armand DeMille.
Thank you.
Boy, would I like to be a part of that. I could just see me holding clavis in my hands and moving to the voice of it.
Dance.
Hey there, so
okay.
June, yes. Let's get back to work.
Yes.
Who did you yell out to? I'm on the phone with Armand DeMille.
I'm sorry?
Who did you yell out to?
Oh, my God, you heard...
I hear everything. Don't you know that about me?
Okay. My husband just walked in as I walked through the door. The only time I receive reception is in my Jeep, so I was just coming home from my nutritionist.
So did he come into your Jeep?
No.
Why not?
I walked into the house, and I will not text or phone and drive. So
I know, but couldn't we? Can't we get him in the
house,
Jeep?
I called you.
Can't we get him in the Jeep so we could all talk?
I would love that. Let me find my keys.
Come on, hurry up.
All right.
Go back to my music.
Deal.
Hi there.
Hi there. I'm in the process of running back into my house. Mark, come to the Jeep, please. Okay. We're on the air?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes.
Put it on speakerphone?
I can be. Okay.
And I want to say hello to him.
Surely.
What's his name?
We're now on speakerphone.
Okay.
We're good to go.
Is this Clark?
This is Mark.
Mark. I thought it was Clark. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Armand.
Hi there. Listen, Mark, I'm here to help. Okay, and here's what the claim is. The claim is, and by the way, have you ever heard my program before, Mark?
I, honestly, no.
Oh, okay, so you're on air. So this is it. You'll be able to listen to this later. You can play it back. I do fast psychology. That's what I do. I try to help things fast. Your wife says, you know, I got two guys. I got one guy who's very gentle, and I got one guy who's not so gentle. The one guy who's not so gentle is the ex-alcoholic, and the one who is gentle is this beautiful man. Do you know what she's talking about?
I definitely do, yes.
Tell me about those two guys.
I just get frustrated.
Sometimes you get frustrated.
And I don't like being told what to do. I'm a very solitary type of person.
Okay, so you don't like when somebody tells you what to do, as she just did now. Come inside the truck. She didn't say, do you want to come inside the truck? She said, come inside the truck. Right? You don't like that. But you're a solitary guy, so you don't show your anger.
No, my wife, June, always says that I'm passive-aggressive.
Okay, so passive-aggressive is a very good strategy. It gets us through life very nicely. And being a passive-aggressive guy, you get pissed off at times that is not being seen. And she deals with the effect of you having that style. But also, June, it was very good for you to choose a passive-aggressive guy because he would also be nice. So you made these choices. These are choices with each other. Now, the trouble is, sometimes it doesn't feel good, and sometimes it does. And I don't know how you're going to let it be. Either he's allowed to express his anger. Would you like him to do that, June?
I would love to hear that if the anger is not directed at, you're an idiot, or you're this, or...
Yeah, I know. People don't know how to fight. They just don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do it. Where do you guys live?
Ronkonkoma.
Ronkonkoma. Oh, my God. Ronkonkoma.
Yeah.
That's out there on the island, right, Linda? That's the train stop. When I was a kid, those are the words that used to ring through my brain. As the guy would say, can one of you say it the way the conductor would say Ronkonkoma.
Ronkonkoma.
No, he wouldn't say it that way. Mark, do you know the way the conductors say Ronkonkoma? Is Mark still there?
Yeah, he has his hands stomped. We're such New Yorkers.
I don't know.
Here's the way the train guy would say, Ronkonkoma. And I would hear that when I was 10 years old. I would be falling asleep, waiting to go out to my grandmother's place, and I'd hear those words, Ronkonkoma. It was a powerful thing because it was the end of the train.
Correct.
The end of the stop, right? You remember that too, Linda? Were you a Ronkonkoma lady?
Yes. Yes, we
you heard
people.
That singing
yes.
it out?
Ronkonkoma.
Ronkonkoma.
Yes.
That's right. All right, so here we are, the drama in Ronkonkoma, which we're trying to heal right now. You guys are in Ronkonkoma. Right. I am going to recommend somebody who helps you talk to each other better. I'm going to find you somebody who can help you communicate better in such a way that you will get past this. Because right now it's a matter of style and communication. What I do hear between the two of you is an enormous amount of love.
Correct. Oh, my God. It's so evident, even by you on the phone.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I don't want to lose it.
Yes.
So let's fight for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am absolutely on, no pun intended, on board with that.
Okay. So send me an email.
Okay.
And I will find something near you, convenient for you, comfortable for you. Mark, I know you're a loner. But it's worth the shot.
I've been alone my whole life. I went to a boarding high school.
Where was your father?
I'm sorry?
Where was your father?
Where was your father?
My M-I-A. Father was...
Okay, take the phone off speakerphone, and Mark, pick up the phone alone, okay? If you don't mind, please, I beg you.
Absolutely. Here's your phone.
Hello, Armin.
Hi there. I'm sorry.
I spoke to you a couple of months back.
I thought I recognized your voice.
And you set me up with Stephanie.
Right. And what happened with that?
I see her every week.
Oh, well, you see, we're in progress. Well, we're in absolute progress.
June thinks that I'm not working the quote-unquote therapy program.
Uh-huh.
And
I see.
It just... kind of upset. It really upsets me because everything I say seems to be the wrong thing to say.
Yeah, I know. I understand the way she is. That's part of her disease. Part of her disease is she finds fault with everything you do. It's just
thank you.
And disease means unease. And she can't help it. She just looks for what's wrong and tries to say, there's what's wrong. If you really got to a point where you had this kind of, if you were like 90, and you're 90 years old and she was acting this way, you'd be looking at her and you'd be smiling every time she points a finger at you.
Well,
she'd be pointing a finger at you and you'd look at how broken and crooked it looks and you go, oh, yeah, honey, it's my fault.
But you see, at the
moment, it feels like it's a threat to the love that you have.
I'm afraid to say anything because every time I say something which I think is apropos, he says, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, okay, so we got to get some work on this, the couple. So either the two of you get in to see me in New York, or we're going to arrange something out there. We got to get the two of you doing something together about your communication.
Yes.
Can we do that?
Yes.
All right. It is wonderful talking to you. Wonderful talking to June. June, wherever you are, I wave you goodbye. And in the words of... Come on, could you say Ronkonkoma for me the way I said it?
Oh, please.
Please. Give me a
Ronkonkoma was the place to go back in the 30s and the 20s.
That's right. Ronkonkoma. Come on, announce it. You got to become one of the Ronkonkoma announcers, Mark. Do it. Here we go. I'll do it with you. We'll all do it.
You're a good man.
Ronkonkoma.
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 Okay. Oh, my God.
I love you, too. I'll speak to you again.
Armand, thank you so much.
Sure.
And you said you're going to send June an email?
No, you send me. You send me an email, and then I'll get back to you.
June has your email address?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Armand.
Email address is armand@thepositivemind.com. On the radio, right? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Our telephone number is 212-957-2729. Our phones, oh, there they are again. See, some people get blanker and blanker under pressure. You know, when you get somebody accusing you, you kind of dull out. Some folks get paranoid. Some folks get depressed. Others get paranoid and depressed. What happens to you under pressure? Do you know? You become a creep. You know, when you're nasty, you become a creep. But if luckily, you can go from being a creep to becoming a crepe. And then if you become a crepe, if you're really lucky, you become a crepe. What's your first name, caller? Hello? Not on the phone? All right. Here we go again. 212-957-2729. You can learn a lot about yourself by stepping back to look at how you disintegrate under pressure. Is it normal, you ask, to get a little crazy as the pressure is built? The answer is no. It's not. But it's something that happens to most folks, especially when their image of themselves starts to shatter. We're going to look at this more and in some time. Here we go again. Is that Susie? So you see, I was trying this trick.
I said, yes, hi, it's Suzette.
Suzette, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Suzette, did you have that name given to you by your father?
My mom.
Your mom. Why did she call you Suzette?
Well, my full name is Deborah Suzette, and I was addressed all my life as a kid as Suzette. They would address me as Suzette.
Did you like it?
I do, actually.
Okay. So what were you calling me about? Tell me.
Okay, I was calling you about earlier about abusive people in your life.
Yes.
And recently I was living with my sister, and her son, who is 27, was there with his girlfriend. And they were having a confrontation, an altercation, and I intervened and tried to prevent him from really hurting her badly because he's a big guy and she's a small girl. Well, in the process of prying his arm off of her neck, he turns around and hit me.
Ooh.
And I went into the bedroom and called his mom at work and insisted that she come home because her son was very rude and disrespectful. And he hit me for trying to prevent him from doing something that could have been dire.
So he was out of his mind.
And then as I'm sitting in my room, he comes into my room and pins me down on the bed and verbally abusing me, saying that I'm supposed to be his aunt and I was taking up for this young lady.
Hmm.
And I had to physically kick him off of me, but he, you know, like pushed the door open and just pinned me down on the bed. And I couldn't understand. It was so surreal. I'm like, are you kidding me? I couldn't believe that this was happening to me.
Right.
Because I felt that I was only trying to prevent him from doing something out of rage that he could have really seriously hurt.
Sure. So your big mistake was physically intervening when there's a physical compulsion going on. There must have been another way. Throw a pail of water on him, call the police. Could have been anything else. I could understand your impulse. But once you get involved in that and you're with somebody who is acting that way, they go over the edge. Now you're in trouble. Now you've pushed it too far. And you've gone over the place you wanted to go. See? How old are these kids?
He's 27, and I guess she's around the same age, 27, 28.
Yeah.
And the thing is, what frightened me is that there was a tragedy in my family where my father took my mother's life. And so I, watching this big guy with his forearm on her neck and she's screaming, stop, you're hurting me. You know, I know what rage can do firsthand. So I was just trying to prevent an incident, a tragic incident from happening. And it was just.
But let me ask you this about your mother and father. Were you there when your father killed your mother?
Yes, I was in the house.
You were in the house. Did you hear it?
No, but I walked into the bedroom, and there she was lying on the bed, so on and so forth.
Oh, my God. How did he kill her?
He stabbed her to death.
How old were you?
And so
How old were you when that happened?
Pardon?
How old were you when that happened?
18.
So imagine an 18-year-old girl loses her mother suddenly to the violence of her father, and what kind of echoes must be in there that get triggered by something else. What this is saying is it pulled off this other piece of you. What a horrible thing. I'm so sorry, Suzette. I'm so sorry you had to go through that back then and again. And
right.
Yes,
so
there's a piece of you that has yet to deal with it.
Well, his mom kept saying to me she didn't do anything wrong.
It's not about his mom, Suzette. It's about you. It's not about them anymore. It's about you.
Okay.
It's about the piece of you that you're carrying with you that's going to keep inviting this to happen until you get it cleared. I know it sounds silly, but people who have had your situation reinvite the situation until they could finally get clear of it. You're a beautiful lady, and this is a terrible thing to happen to you, but don't focus on the outside. Focus on the inside. Focus on the inside. There's a piece of work here that needs to be done. Did you ever really grieve your mother?
Did I grieve what?
Did you ever really grieve your mother?
I felt I did. Actually, my husband and I came in to see you years ago before we got divorced.
Mm-hmm. Before you got divorced?
Pardon?
Then you and he got divorced?
We did get divorced, yeah. He decided that he didn't want the marriage anymore. We were coming in once a week to see you from Long Island.
Mm-hmm. Not from Ronkonkoma.
His name was Amos.
I remember. Great. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Two very beautiful people. Now I remember your story, too, Suzette.
Right.
Sure. But you're carrying some baggage. So you're going to get yourself in more trouble than most people because you're carrying around some baggage, and that's the way people are. People who carry baggage make wrong decisions, make wrong choices. People who are carrying baggage wind up in debt. They wind up spending money. They wind up getting angry. They wind up picking the wrong partners. They wind up all kinds of stuff. People with baggage make the wrong choices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay until they stop making the choices. But you're going to get better.
Well, my choice was I did remove myself from the situation.
Yes, that was wise. That was wise. Well, Suzette,
pardon?
That was wise.
Right.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sure. So the real question is, how do you put the toilet paper in? Number one. Number two, what happened to the guy who sings Ronkonkoma? And do you think there's a competition of the Ronkonkoma poets, you know? Bottom line here is that with or without a healthy self-image, which means being connected to our real selves in such a way, how do we look? How do we respond to people? What is this stuff that we carry around? Our past, our wounds, our sensitivities, they all affect us. And when they get under pressure, and then we get under pressure, we behave in ways that are harmful and damaging. However, we can't necessarily take accounting of it. We're not going to apologize. Don't expect apologies. We're going to get through, all of us, the way we are, broken or not broken. Because somewhere down the line, somewhere in the universe, we are all holding fingertips. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. You beautiful people. I'll be with you next Tuesday at 1 p.m. You can download today's program by going to thepositivemind.com. And don't forget to make a donation to the station.